see everyone out. We're missing several, but they all vacationing and different things. We all be jealous, but hope they have a good time and stay safe. And excited about this morning. Had a good time in Sunday school, and well, we learned about some good stuff. It wasn't fun to learn about. Our lesson was about sin and how lightly we take it. But we're living in a time where it's taken so lightly, but I did enjoy our lesson. We looking forward to service this morning. Glad to see you out. We have some sick, and of course, remember Brandon's family, they're sick, and probably a bunch I'm not thinking about. Can you remember our friend Scott Norton? He's going to have more surgery Tuesday. Continue to take more of one of his feet off, his left foot. So got to do some more of that. Y'all be in prayer for him and his wife. This thing's been going since November. I'm sure they're just about ready to give up. But keep praying for them, and we earnestly pray. I know God will hear. I don't understand sometimes the way He works, but I know what He does is best. So y'all remember him. Frieda Austin, remember her and her family. I think she's going to begin some treatments and different things, so y'all be much in prayer for her. Remember, our Bible reading is going to take place in Heflin beginning April the 30th, and I said something wrong last week. I said that we would meet with Heflin First Baptist on April the 30th. That's actually going to be April the 2nd. It's called a campfire meeting, and so we'll meet with them on April the 2nd for our night service. We'll get more details about that as it gets closer. And also, I want to say I appreciate those of y'all that come out to Abby's birthday party last night. We had a good time, and I was thinking, as everybody's there, it's amazing how God can take something like a birthday party and make it so enjoyable to us, and it's caused by the fellowship of our church family coming together. And I enjoy being around y'all more than I do my family. Y'all don't fuss as much. Extended family, I better clear that up. But it's several miles.
We might need a home.
But Abby's 16 today, so I guess we better get her to stand and sing happy birthday. Stand up.
Any February
birthdays.
Yeah.
February birthday on the front.
Birthdays.
Pat?
Who's got a birthday?
Pat, you got another
one? No, I don't have another.
You have a February birthday?
He did.
Stand up.
You better stand up.
Stand up.
Any more? Was yours not in February?
No, January. I don't need another one right now. Especially today.
Any more? Don't, somebody's got to lead us.
Go ahead. You got to.
No, you go ahead.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Well, anything else? Any more prayer requests before we move forward? Remember those that are traveling. We got many in our church traveling, probably on the way back home today or in the morning one. So remember those. They travel for safe travels, and we'll have young ones going back to schools and different things this probably Monday or Tuesday. So remember them, and pray they stay safe.
The Merrill family.
Yes. I forgot about that. That visitation is from 2 to 5. Is that right, Keith? 2 to 5 night. And y'all... Didn't you remember the Pollard family over in Ramburn? I don't know if many of y'all knew L.J. Pollard passed away, and Cheryl Harris passed away also, friends of mine and connections throughout life with them. So y'all be much in prayer for those families. If you have any others, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the day you've given us again. Lord, we thank you for the Sunday school lesson we had. Father, I pray that you touch our hearts and lives and let us see what sin is. Father, I pray that you be in our service this morning, Father, just because we've got some missing. You don't let it hinder us. I know it don't hinder you, but don't let it hinder us. And Father, let us have a greater service if we had a building full. Lord, I pray that you use this church, Father, to save lost souls out in the community. I pray you use us to draw community back to you. Lord, I ask you to be with our singers this morning. Just touch their lips, Lord, and everything they sing be to honor and glorify your name. And as we come to preach, I pray that you touch us in a mighty way. Father, I ask you to be with all the sick that we've mentioned. I pray that you touch them and heal them, Lord, to their much-wanted health. Father, I just ask, especially this morning, as Scott Norton, Father, we call his name to you and his wife, Cherie. Lord, we ask that you work mightily. I know you've got something to be done out of all this, God, and I pray that they see it and that it works, what it accomplishes what it set out to do, and I know it will. Lord, I ask you to be with us this morning. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what laid behind the stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall in thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me.
Praise to the King of Kings.
Much pressure back there. I'd rather be up here. Again, good to see everyone out, and appreciate those stepping up for our singing, and makes us even back there on that board makes us appreciate what the ones do. But if you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 2. We'll begin reading there, and this is a message that God laid on my heart after last Sunday's. I preached last Sunday, and I mentioned something about God speaking. And as soon as I did that, the message began working on my heart about how God speaks and something happens. I can say millions and millions of words, and some of y'all can say way more millions of words than I can. And y'all probably met a lady last night at my house can say more than y'all can. But good friend of ours, and bless her heart, she can talk. I tell her she sounds like a Chinese radio, but she can talk. But we can say a million words and not make a difference in anybody's life. But when God speaks, things happen. And we've all had a time in our life when God has spoke to us, and we know that we see many different things go on today. We go to some concerts or different speakings of people, well-known Christian speakers, and there's excitement and all, and music and different things, but God began showing me this week that we miss His speaking in the most simple times. But to get to hear Him, we have to do something that's not real popular with us, and that's get to a where we slow down and where we stop and take time to really hear what He says. And in 1 Kings 19, Elijah had gotten there. And this is always amazing to me of how a man that had saw what God had done, as Elijah, got to a point of depression as such he did. If you back up a little bit from this verse, you would see old Elijah sitting under a juniper tree wanting to die. You got to remember, he just has saw God send the fire down and consume the offering and the 450 prophets of Baal, how he made them look so crazy. And last night at my house, me and some of the guys trying to start a bonfire or a little fire to roast marshmallows on. And I began thinking about how God surely had to come down, because my wood was a little bit wet and it took us forever. And I told some of them out there, I said, if any of y'all believe in global warming, do not come outside. Because we tried starting fires with everything from styrofoam plates to, we didn't have no gas or we would have tried that. But when something is wet, it's truly hard to start. And Elijah had saw God coming and consuming these offerings with barrels of water poured all over them. And truly, God showed himself through that. And God, Elijah saw many miracles that God did. He prayed, and it didn't rain. He prayed, and the rain gave forth. James tells us in there about Elijah. So Elijah saw many miracles of God. So you would think, surely, Elijah would be a man who was on fire always. And Elijah was a man, I believe, as I began studying this week and trying to understand a little bit about Elijah, he was a man that liked to see God work in great things, powerful things. The fire came down. The lightnings and the storm came when Elijah prayed. And boy, he loved to see God work in powerful things. You know what? I'm the same way this morning. I love it when God makes known for sure. And boy, I like to preach about how old Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus and all the great power. I like to read about the story of the storm on the sea and how Jesus just spoke and calm the seas. And I love to preach about all that and everything, but God shows us in these verses that most of the time when we truly hear from God, it's a still, small voice. God chooses the light things of the world to work. He chooses the soft things of the world to work. You look back how God does things. He chose a little baby born of a virgin to come save a lost world. He chose a young teenage boy, the name of David, to slay a great big giant. You can go all through the scripture and you can find where God uses the weak things to accomplish the impossible. He does it all through there. And in this verse here in 1 Kings, chapter number 19, verse number 12. But I'm going to back up a little bit right here because I want you to see this. I'm going to actually back up to verse number 8. I'm going to back up to verse number 8, and I've messed Corey up already. But it says, "And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the man of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he's been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with thy sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Father, we thank you for this day again. We thank you for your blessings. Father, we ask that you cleanse us this morning. Lord, show us where our problems lie. Help us to get them out of our lives, God, and help us truly be able to hear your voice. Father, I pray that you see it. Let us know today before we leave here how important it is to get along with you so we can truly hear your voice. Father, I ask you to go with us through the rest of this service and everything we do. We honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I began thinking about just simply the title. If you was going to put a title on this message, is When God Speaks. And I began searching the Bible about every time that God spoke. And if I preached on that, we would have to stay till next Sunday and still probably wouldn't be done. So God spoke a lot through the Word because this is God's Word right here. This is Him speaking to us. So we've got 66 books of God speaking, but I tried to pick out some times of when God spoke that really stuck out to us. And if you turn to Genesis chapter number 1, you begin seeing God speak immediately in the Word of God. Immediately you begin seeing Him speak as we look in Genesis chapter 1 and pretty much all through the chapter right here, God works in mighty ways. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. Have you ever thought about it? And I know we watched a show here that Luke Giglio put on about the indescribable, but had you ever thought about all the light that we see today as we walk out those doors, I look in those windows, or I look up at that light bulb, and all of that, God just simply said, He said, Let there be light, and there was light. That amazes me because I can try forever and ever in my own power to accomplish something, and truly, nothing can be done until God speaks. God can speak one little word, and behold, everything come into being. That amazes me today is how powerful He truly is. He created light simply through His voice. He said, Let there be light, and the Bible says there was light. And not only was then, there's still light today. However many years you want to believe that was, that God provided light, from the beginning, God created light, and it's still here to this very moment. It amazes me about the sun that God created, how that thing has burned for all those years, and it's never run out. And its power is what energizes it, keeps going and going and going. And it ought to tell us today that God created that light, and surely He created us, and because that light never runs out, faith in Him, guess what? I'll never run out. Man, how amazing that is today that God spoke light into existence. He simply said, Let there be light. He didn't sit and think about, well, now let me see what I'm going to do with this great world down there. That thing is dark and nobody can see it when I create them. So what am I going to do? He said, Oh, yeah, light. Boom. Here was light. Louis Giglio talked about how fast that light traveled and how that must have looked when God spoke it. Coming out of His mouth, all that light. But God spoke and darkness was gone. Have you ever thought about that? And you can look at the story of creation, and I preached this one time and about how in Genesis chapter number 1 we see a lost soul. When you compare it to when God created earth, you see us as being a lost person and then being saved through God. We're just like, hey, before God speaks into our life, guess what? We're in darkness. And the moment He speaks to us and we respond by saying, Yes, Jesus, guess what happens? Light appears in our life by simply speaking to us. And it's so important we get caught up in all this stuff today. Well, it's got to be this great thing. With this lightning is going to come down, and this powerful earthquake is going to happen. And truly, God is in that. And man, I feel it, and I want to see what all is done in that great power. But listen, how many times do we want to hear from God so bad that we get into a quiet place and simply listen? We've been drawn into this thing believing that God is so powerful, so surely he only must work in the powerful stuff. God works in the most simplest of ways most of the time. He spoke and light came into existence. Genesis 1, verse 9. God spoke and the seas were formed. Listen to this. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered unto one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Listen, I have been on a few seas. I have been, I think, on the Pacific Ocean. I've been in the Caribbean Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, and in some of these places, and even went one place, and I can't remember where it was. Stephanie, you have to remind me, but you can stand on a mountain up there, and you can see where the Atlantic Ocean and the Caribbean Ocean meet. And hey, it's just one big ocean. No, it's not. You can tell where they come together. And God put these things together, and the Bible says he simply spoke it. Now, you realize that water is one of the most powerful things on earth? Water. It's so powerful. It has great power, and there's nothing more scary than being standing beside a river that is overflowing, and the waters are so scary, and they can overtake us. And water, many people die in water a year. They drown in different things, and they're powerful. And God simply spoke, and all the oceans of the earth were gathered into one place. Man, he spoke it. He didn't reach down with his hand and pull them over there. He spoke it. They're gathered in one place. He said, let the dry land appear, and it was so. The dry land came into being by simply God speaking. These oceans went to where they were supposed to be. I wonder today, Terry, why did I get in such an uproar wondering how is things going to happen in my life? How in the world am I going to go forward? I'm down and out, and God, nothing's going right. How in the world am I going to make it? You realize something today? You serve a God that spoke and light come forth. You serve a God that spoke and all the oceans was gathered together. You serve a God that spoke and dry land appeared. I think he can handle your problem. He ain't overwhelmed. He spoke. Listen, Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and the earth had trees and grass. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed. After his kind, the tree yielded fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Have you realized something? When God does something, he does it for good. When God does something, he does it to last. The earth brought forth grass. Do you realize what he's saying? And yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose sin itself. Do you realize that once God created these trees, he could have been done if he wanted to, because he's going to provide for themselves. You cut an apple open, guess what's in it? Seeds. You cut an old pomegranate. Anybody ever seen a pomegranate? Them things got enough seeds, planted up pomegranate trees to cover Alabama in one fruit. Okra, they got seeds in them. Squash has got seeds in it. Corn, it'll grow of itself, but it must go into the ground and die. But listen, everything God created, the grasses and all this stuff, it had the seed to keep itself going inside itself. And how amazing it is that God did this by speaking. He spoke it, and boom, it happened. Can you imagine how beautiful it was before sin messed with it? And I've said something wrong because everybody's smiling up front. Or I'm pretty, one of the two. I'm going to go with Purdy. Listen, he spoke and the grass and the trees became into being. And all of it provides for itself. Man, it's amazing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. God spoke and the stars were formed and all the galaxies and everything. Listen, he said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs for seasons, for days and years. Boy, is it not amazing how God had everything figured out the moment he spoke it. He said, let there be light. Boom, all the stars begin appearing. And you can look up tonight and the ones that he put there in Genesis, bless God, is still there. You can look up and they make patterns and they're for signs. And why was they for signs? Because God knew that one day some people was going to set sail so they could come to a land and they could worship freely the name of God. And to do that, they didn't have GPS back then. So they was going to need something for a sign. So he provided when he created the earth. Praises me. And he spoke it for signs and for years. You realize the sun. Those of y'all that are here on that Sunday night, you heard Louis do it much better than I can. But the sun is tilted. I think it's 23. The earth is tilted at 23 degrees, I think it is. And it does goes around the sun exactly the right speed every year. Now, the scientists say that we gained point something, 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 something of a second. I haven't found it. Anyway, they say we've done that. But I promise you, God has this thing tilted at the right way, at the right time, spinning at the right speed, and he did this by speaking. And he hung that thing there on nothing. You look in Job, this has always amazed me how you read in our history books and they teach that all these old people who sailed the seas always said that they thought the seas was flat, thought the earth was flat, and that one day they would fall over. Said this was done in around the 1400s or something like that. People still believe this. But you can go back and you can search the Word of God. But I realized something, that the Word of God wasn't widely spread in English to about started in the 1500s. So maybe they didn't know this, but even in the book of Job, it tells us that God hung this thing on nothing. And it was sitting there spinning. And it even tells us in the Word of God that the earth is a sphere, which God provided everything we need. He spoke these seasons into existence. He gave us winter. He gave us summer. He gave us fall. And guess what? I don't like wintertime sometimes, Pat. I don't like it because of the biggest thing I got against it, it gets dark too early. But it's needed. Fall time is probably my favorite. I like the leaves and it's pretty, but guess what? It's needed. Summertime, we burn up in Alabama. It gets 100 degrees. And the humidity is hot, but guess what? We need it. Then all the seasons is there just like God provided. Springtime is fixing to be around the corner. We're going to walk outside in about a month, and boom, the grass needs cutting. And all the flowers are blooming, and I begin sneezing, my eyes watering, and I begin whining, oh, Lord, why'd you give us springtime? But we need it. God's done all that by speaking it. He said, let there be lights from the firmament of heaven, and for signs, and for seasons, for days and years. You know why God gave beginnings? I've thought about that sometimes of a day. You realize every day you get up is a chance at a new, brand new beginning. Yesterday don't matter anymore. You can't go back and change yesterday. And I believe God set days up and God set years up and he set months up and all this up for us so we could honestly see that there's a new start. Every year is a cycle. It's just like a life. Man, it's amazing how God done it. Chapter number 1, verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving, creature that hath life and fowl that may fly. God spoke, and life on earth come into existence. All the ones in the ocean and the ones on the earth, God spoke it, and all these beings came into there. And it tickles me of how scientists still just the other day said they found a brand new species of shark. And that rascal was created thousands of years ago, and we just know very little about what God done. God lets us know what he wants us to know when we want to know it. All the time they find new species of spiders and snakes and different things that God created way back then, and they're still there. And those that believe that, hey, boy, that thing has adapted to living in a certain place and all this. Bless God, I believe God gives them what they need to survive. He knew where that thing was going to be placed, and he gave it exactly what it needed. So here, God spoke it, and all life coming to existence. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. This is amazing. God said, let us make man in our image. If you noticed all the way up to this, God said, let there be light. God said, let there be herbs and grass. Let there be stars and things. But boy, when it comes to the greatest creation, there's a word in there that ought to stick out to us. Let us. In all this creation, the whole Godhead was involved in creating man. The whole Godhead was involved in creating me and you. Listen, it says, let us make man in our image. And the Word of God means what it says and says what it means. It didn't say I. It said, let us make man in our image. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, we've given it, and God gave it for it, and God spoke it. But here, boy, see all of them together. And God said, let us make it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Listen, when you get these people that say you're not supposed to eat a cow, carry them back there. These people say you're not supposed to shoot a deer, carry them back here. They say you're not supposed to do something. Now, let's take God's creation and trample it. I believe God gives us common sense how to take care of an environment and how to take care of animals and different things. And I don't believe it pleases God when we beat an animal. But bless God, according to that verse, he created everything on this earth for me and you. That's amazing to me. As big as this earth is. And then we saw in Louis Giglio's thing of how small it is. It's big to me and you. Earth is but a dot. But boy, he loves that dot. He loves it. He created it. Created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And we're not going to go there today, but he's done that for a reason. Male and female. There's a reason he created that. Just exactly like the seed was created in all the fruits, he created man and woman to carry on procreation, to go on with what he created. But listen, I believe, Isaac, God especially knew us. The Bible teaches us that he knew us before the foundation of the world. Amen. He knew you before you was created. All this other stuff, the plants and all this, was given seeds to constantly come back every year. But me and you are the only thing that it says that he knew for the foundation of the world. You see, the trees carry on. They provide, but each person, I believe, somewhere in time, he created them, his mothers and daddies, to bring them into existence, but you are special, and God created you. And even as bad as you are, you don't believe you are, ask your mom and daddy. God still created you and had a reason for you. And he spoke, and this happened. Man, it's amazing. You see, when God speaks, there's power. Back to our message of Elijah. Back to God's, Elijah was there in that cave. Do you notice this story? I don't know if you've ever noticed this. But God come to him when he was there and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he automatically began complaining. God, I've been jealous for you, and here you are, and everybody wants to kill me, and they don't like me, and your people has thrown me down, and you don't even care for me, and they want to kill me, so here I am, and I don't even care. Do you realize this, that Elijah had slain all the prophets of Baal, he had overcome all the great things happened, and he has allowed one godless woman named Jezebel to chase him into a cave. And here he is. God says, boy, what you doing there? Have you ever noticed that God spoke to him here? I think we see God speak to us a lot of times, but it's only when God speaks to our soul do we hear. Because listen to this. He tells him, he said, because I was jealous. God told him, said, go forth. Go forth out of the cave and stand there a minute, and we'll show you something. And all of a sudden it said, God passed by, and there was a storm. There was a wind so bad that it broke the mountain. That it broke the rocks. Now, I've seen some tornadoes come through Alabama, but I don't know of the one that's ever tore up Stone Mountain. But listen, there was a storm so bad that day when God passed by that he allowed the wind to eat the mountains in pieces. How powerful it was. You say, well, truly that was the image of God. Truly that was God showing off his power. Elijah ought to took notice in that, but he saw the great power of God pass by. But listen, Elijah had seen that before. He'd prayed down a storm from God. He'd saw that. It says, after that, an earthquake. And I remember of very little about the earthquake that happened in Alabama. Me and Stephanie was already, and we got woke us up that morning, the headboard of the bed slamming against the wall. We woke up and said, what was that? I said, I don't know. We went back to sleep. So the earthquake didn't shake me very badly. But listen, the earthquakes are scary. You see the power they have. There have been complete countries almost devastated by earthquakes. There's power in it. They'll shake the ground. They'll cause buildings to fall and all the great things. And God can do that by simply speaking. So Elijah's here. He sees the great wind. He feels the great earthquake. The ground shook beneath him. You'd say, surely he better take notice. But he didn't. And after that, the Bible says there was a fire. The fire. Now Elijah knew something about fire, I just told you. He had prayed fire down who had consumed the burnt offerings. Elijah had seen fire before. He had seen God send fire before. But I don't think in all of Elijah was he ready for what happened next. It says, after earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. How did I know that Elijah heard something that day he had never heard? Listen to what he done. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what do you hear, Elijah? God spoke to to Elijah, and he heard something he had never heard before. And me and you today, I believe if we know God, if we're saved today, I believe at some point we have heard this voice. It's something that we can't explain. For many of us, it was a still small voice, a tugging at our heart, and preachers make it seem so hard today. We say, and it is, the Bible teaches you must be drawn to the Spirit. And people begin thinking, well, truly I must feel something pulling me towards the altar. The drawing of the Spirit simply is that still small voice. Elijah heard it. And you see what happens when you hear the voice of God and you know it's the Holy God speaking to you? You begin seeing who you are and see who He is. You're over here, you're a dirty, undone, unrighteous being, and here's a great holy God that can send all these powerful things, and because He loves you so much, He chooses to speak into your heart, to simply speak to that heart in a still, small voice. Elijah saw who he was because he covered his face with his coat or his veil. He wrapped his head up because he wasn't worthy to be in the sight of an almighty God. You see, today, we'll hear God speak when we realize who we are and when we realize who He is, then there'll be a difference. God has spoken. It says it. Elijah didn't hear Him. But when God spoke in this still small voice, Elijah's heart was broken. He realized where he stood. God asked him the same question. Why are you here, Elijah? What are you doing here? This ain't where I told you to go. Elijah begins telling the same story. God, I've done this because this was wrong. And all this, Lord, you just don't care for me. And immediately God told him thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Well, now comest, anoint Hazael be king over Syria. In other words, God told Elijah, boy, you ain't done. Get up and go forward. I've got something for you to do. Elijah had heard from God. And God told him what to do. And boy, I love this. You begin studying this thing, and Elijah is still not happy, I don't believe. And so God had to do something. God says, by the way, Elijah, I got you're down here in the cave. You see, why he was in the cave, he was whining. Because he believed he was all by himself. Oh, God had deserted me. He had truly left me by myself. And God told him something. He said, by the way, Elijah, there's 7,000 more prophets that hadn't bowed to Baal. I have saved a remnant. You're not by yourself. Me and you today are living in a time when our president has nailed it on the head last week. We're bombarded by dishonest media telling me and you that everything is terrible, that and nothing is good, and everything is just in a bad shape and all these things. And guess what we do? We do like Elijah. We begin believing it. And we're down in a depressed condition. And I read one of my commentators this morning, I read a little bit, and he said, somebody asked him, said, are there times we need to go to psychiatrists? He said, yes, there's times where psychiatrists are needed. And he said, but you know what's needed more? He said, if we'd take time to go to the couch of Jesus Christ and pour our heart out to Him, it's the reason today that so many people are discouraged and are depressed and are down and out and think everything's about to end is they forgot who they're serving. The God that spoke all this into existence. He cared for Elijah. He said, Elijah, I've got 7,000 more that's with you. They haven't been as vocal as you are, but bless God, they're still here. They're still waiting. And I began searching for another place, speaking of God and how powerful it was. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, I found the most powerful words in the whole Scripture. I think it's more powerful than light being formed from God speaking. I think it's more powerful than God putting oceans into one place. I think it's more powerful than God creating stars and galaxies and the sun that burns all these thousand degrees. I believe all of this is more powerful than him to Jesus Christ. And that day, a leper was an outcast. He could not be in society. His family would set him aside. He was quarantined. He couldn't be around anybody because if you got leprosy, it was a death sentence. There was no hope for you. Nobody hardly ever was healed from leprosy. We see a couple of accounts in Scripture, but not hardly ever anybody was healed from this terrible disease. But listen, here come a leper up to Jesus Christ. Worship him saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Boy, I love verse number 3. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Two words. I believe it's the most powerful words in Scripture. I will. You realize something? The God that spoke and said, let there be light, let there be grass, let there be animal life, let there be human life, leprosy. Leopard, and by the way, leprosy is like sin. It starts small, and before it's over, it completely eats you. Eats all the way to the bone. It destroys you. Leprosy was a terrible disease. Ain't many places in the world today, but it still is there. But Jesus, this great one who spoke all this to existence, cared enough about a dirty, rotten sinner. One day, I come to him, I said, Lord, he said, I will. I will. That holds more power for me. Yes, I got to have light. Yes, I got to have all that. But you know what? One day, I'll be dead. I won't need light. One day, I won't need grass. One day, I won't need the sunshine. One day, I won't need this. But guess what? I'll forever need God. Be in the presence of Him because of two words He said, I will. I will. I believe today as a child of God, you can come to Him for anything that's in His will. He gives us sense enough to know what's in His will. I believe you can cry out and say, Father, I stand in need. And I believe He says, I will. My kids can come to me with some crazy stuff, and every time we get in the car, Ashton wants candy. I don't always say, I will. Sometimes when she picks up you pick up the phone, it's Amberly, and she starts off by saying, what are you doing today? That's code word for Daddy, you got to put some money in my account. I'm hungry. I've learned that voice. You know what? I've never said I won't. I made her think I'd say I won't. But I've always tried to find a way to get to BB&T in Heflin. You know what? Because I love her. But I don't love her nothing like God loves me. I promise you today something. God will speak if we'll get somewhere where we can listen. You realize where he was? He was in a cave. Yes, he was running. Yes, he was hiding. But nothing surprised God. He knew that Elijah had to get there before he would hear. Because Elijah, I believe, was a great, big, powerful man. I believe, I don't know how what size he was, but Elijah was a man who liked to see things happen in power. And God had to show Elijah something. That, oh boy, I work in quiet ways. Still small. Every time I've ever had anything happen in my life that shook me, that made a difference, it was done in a still, small voice kind of way. God spoke to my heart. Listen, when God speaks to you in this way, there's nothing you can do but cover your head and fall before him. That's all you can do. So as this leper came and asked Jesus, you can cleanse me if you will. It was spoken. I will. Those words is not as God provided everything to last. I told you he did. The trees provide for themselves and everything. These two words are still ringing out through us today. There's a lot. If there's any soul in here that don't know Jesus Christ or anywhere in this world, if they'll come to a knowledge, of a saving knowledge, they need Jesus Christ. Listen, a person can't be saved until they realize they're lost. But I come to that point, and there says, God, will you cleanse me? I promise you, he'll say, I will. He's already said it. I will. Elijah's seen God do many miracles, and power in his life, and still had moments of weakness. We can get to the same place. I believe Elijah got to this place by not slowing down and listening to God. Truly, he got himself in a great depression, was hid in a cave. And you know what? We want to say, well, this sissy, here he is hiding in a cave from a woman. God already got him out and striped his legs. God spoke to him, and immediately, boy, he realized it was God when he spoke to his soul. He realized that truly that God could work in still small ways. And then God didn't stop there. He wasn't alone. He had 7,000 more. I want to tell you something today. You may be here and going through the hardest time of your life. May I tell you you're not alone? There's people hurting all over this world. And there's a great physician that's willing to make you clean and to help you. And I don't know what your problem may be. We all have different problems. But I do know that he'll say, I will. I thought about this. God speaks. And man, I would love to have been there. I saw it when God spoke light, when God spoke this, when God spoke that, all this stuff into existence. But I realized he done it all for me. Give me a place that I could live on earth, have a family, have a church family, have a great life. And then he prepared something for me in heaven that I can't even imagine. Man, it's just amazing that God will speak to something as dirty. God will speak to something as unclean as you. And all of us were unclean people. You see, I believe that's what Elijah realized when God spoke to his heart. We've all heard that voice. We've all heard it when you can't deny it. That had to be God. Elijah still could have chosen to stay in that cave, but he didn't. Elijah went forth. Today as we stand, we come with a verse of song or whatever Corey wants to do for invitation. God, yes, God's done spoke light. Yes, God's done spoke the grass and all that stuff into existence. But he's still speaking to hearts today. He's still speaking. I want you. I desire you. I love you. Won't you come? And most people you ever hear tell about their experience with God, when they truly heard from God, it was in one of the lowest places of their life. Because you know why that is? That's only at that point we'll begin to tune our hearts in towards God so we can hear. We have to get in a cave sometimes, in a place that's not comfortable, and God will speak. If God spoke to you today, would you come and give your heart and life to him? I don't know. It don't matter if you're a member or what you are. If you don't know God, you need to come today. He'll speak. He's still speaking. He's still tugging. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that spoke the light to existence is to hearts and lives this very in 2017. Still the same.